You're listening to a 3CR podcast of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia.
Radio MMT respectfully acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land from which we are broadcasting, the Wurundjeri people, and we are broadcasting to the Kulin nations. Our focus is economics, that is, how stuff is produced and distributed. We recognise that for many tens of thousands of years, First Nations people's connection to country successfully embodied the world's oldest continuous economy, which was catastrophically disrupted by genocide and displacement. We acknowledge that we have much to learn to reshape our current extractive and exploitive system to achieve sustainable prosperity for everyone.
Radio MMT. Economics for the rest of us with Anne
and Kev.
Radio MMT.
Looking at the world through the lens of modern monetary theory.
Radio MMT.
Macroeconomics for a well-being economy.
Macroeconomics? Like, isn't that incredibly boring?
No, Kevin, it's incredibly interesting. It's all about who gets what and why.
Who gets what and why? Okay, I'm in.
Radio MMT at gmail.com.
Incredibly interesting macroeconomics for the rest of us. Welcome to Radio MMT. How are you this week, Anne?
Hello, Kevin. Well, and hello to our lovely, lovely, lovely listener who has helped us get over that hurdle, Kevin.
Oh, yes, because it's been Radiothon. Is it still Radiothon or is Radiothon officially finished?
All the way to the end of the financial year.
Oh, okay, radio. Mm. So it's still Radiothon.
It is still Radiothon.
I should read my email, shouldn't
you
I?
You should read your But we have shot through our target. So Radio MMT will survive on 3CR for yet another year, thanks to all those people who are supporting us. I wouldn't mind naming names here.
We don't have to drop our dacks and run around the block or anything?
No, we don't. You can still donate, especially as we still haven't met the target for the whole station.
And we only just scraped over. It's not like we've created any new records and stuff. And we're a reasonably new show at the station, so we kind of rely on people that we know who have been very generous, but we're noticing an increase in smaller donations from general listeners, which is really encouraging.
We love it when we don't know you.
Yeah, and we'd like to get to know you. Speaking of which, like, we do have a catch-up at the pub tonight, but we'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah, we've got a few announcements to make. Okay. I'll just read some names of the lovelies that we do know. Gab, Joe, Marion, Loretta, Inez and Greg, thank you so much. We also know Mark and Fred. Fred, well, we kind of know Fred.
Fred, he's been helping me helping me untwist my brain recently, and I really appreciate his input.
Yeah. Kev uses Fred as a sounding board because Fred's quite smart about some of this
Fred
stuff.
Fred has a very analytical mind.
And we also have met Jack ages ago. Jack, he's our most far-flung donor. He's over there in Honolulu.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Jack. And also, we do know Misha, and I think Misha's doing a very interesting thing when it comes to donating.
What's that?
Well, he gets to appear on my spreadsheet multiple times. Uh-huh. And I think that's because he's doing a recurring donation.
Now, this is a good idea because the idea of donating, it can be like, oh, you know, it's a bit much, etc. Misha is donating a small amount on a regular basis as opposed to doing one big dump. And
That's quite the image.
It's probably a bad metaphor. Mm. But I really like this idea. It's the same as I donate $3 a month to Wikipedia or something, I think it was.
Oh, yes.
And it was kind of like, I'm not going to miss $3 a month. You know, it's
less than a coffee these days.
Less than a coffee these days. It's $12 a year. And if something like that, you get a lot of people doing it.
Right.
It can keep them afloat. That's all you need to do.
Okay. So there's an idea. If you haven't donated this year but you think you'd like to, maybe set up a recurring donation with 3CR and they will pipe it to our show.
Yeah, and we'll love you forever.
Mm. And we'll be very impressed. Oh, we do know Victor as well. Thank you, Victor. That was an absolute joy to see you on our spreadsheet here. But there are a few people I didn't recognise. James, so thank you so much, James. You're close by, so I hope you're coming to the pub. Simon, I don't know who you are, but thank you again. And I think that's, Rodney, who's in outer Melbourne. Don't know who you are, Rodney, but glad that you're getting into the MMT.
Good on you, Rodney.
Yep. So that's my list, Kev.
Oh, what about Lou? You didn't say Lou. Oh,
sorry, Lou. Yes, you're there too. And I don't know where you are. You're a big mystery.
Well, I've got a friend called Lou and I was wondering whether it was her, but I don't think it is. I think it's another Lou. So anyway, that's good. Well, thank you, Lou.
And did I mention Glenn?
Well, you just did then.
Okay, Glenn is also, I think, someone we've heard from on the emails. And I do have saved up for maybe the end of the show some questions that some of our listener has sent us by email.
Oh, yeah, righty. Yeah, no, we'll get to that. Or do you want me to do that sooner rather than later?
No, let's do it later.
Okay.
We'll save the hard part for later. But okay. We do have some announcements because we've got all sorts of things going on.
Right.
So tonight. So you now have less than an hour to get yourselves to Fitzroy if you want to come to the pub with Kev and I.
The Union Club Hotel.
The Union Club Hotel is at 164 Gore Street, Fitzroy, just down the road from the studios here.
There's a bunch of us that usually catch up there. It was quite well attended last time we went.
Yeah. So Union Club Hotel at 6:30. Then coming up...
Saturday
the 5th of July from 1 to 4 p.m., at the Torrens University Flinders Street campus, which is just across the road from Fed Square in Melbourne, head for room 3.03. And there you will see the group called Public Money, Public Good, presenting an MMT workshop for free.
For free.
For free. So all you have to do is go to the Human Ticks to sign up, although you can probably roll up on the day as well.
We need to plug this. It's a really good event to roll up to. If you're a novice or if you've got some knowledge,
usually you have questions, don't you?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what your prior learning is for these things. It always opens up new avenues, you know. I've been asked to do a little presentation there.
You'll be presenting, yeah.
I'm going to be bringing the spreadsheet in
not the spreadsheet. Oh. Kev's been showing me this spreadsheet all month. I'm a bit scared of it.
I'm scared of it. It wakes me at night in horror. I wake up and I go, oh, hang on, what does that mean? And it's messing with my head.
Kev's trying to do monetary flows in the economy.
Oh, it's not good. I'm trying to actually turn the numbers into something that makes sense.
A story that makes sense.
It's really hard.
It's hard. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, Kev's guaranteed to blow your mind on Saturday, the 5th of July, 1 to 4 p.m.
Unless I melt down beforehand. As we were talking before, this could be my Brian Wilson moment after Good Vibrations, where it's just all too much and I overload.
We might have to carry you in on a stretcher or something.
Yeah, that's all right.
Torrens University, Flinders Street campus.
Actually, what you could do is maybe I'll present from a sandbox with a piano like Brian Wilson. Because poor old Brian died just recently and he has a rather amazing story. Like he was, a very complicated
creative
person.
Yeah.
So he went from having all this amazing output to just overloading.
Imploded, didn't he?
And overloading, and then blew his mind, and he ended up, wandering down from his upstairs bedroom to play his piano, which was in a sandbox in his house downstairs when there was a recording studio down there, and then he'd wander back up to his room again. That's where I'm headed.
Kev's going to do his impression of bond issuance in a sandbox.
Oh, okay. So that was Saturday, July the 5th.
It was July the 5th.
At Torrens University.
Torrens.
Which is on Flinders Street, straight opposite
Fed
Square, and it's on between 1 and 4 on Saturday the 5th.
Correct.
James, have we plugged that enough for you? James is our man on that one.
He is. He's organised a great event. And there's lots of different speakers, and a lot of them are very across MMT. So you'll learn something and you'll have some great discussions.
Yep.
And they'll probably go out for beers afterwards, I imagine.
As we do, yeah.
There's also another event coming up Friday the 15th of August from 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. And this is a public forum at Vic Trades Hall in Carlton. That's on 54 Victoria Street, and it'll be in the Solidarity Hall. And it's being put on by Unionists for a Job Guarantee. Yay! They've got a public forum called A New Economic Vision for the Labour Movement. And I do believe the lineup of speakers includes Professor Bill Mitchell, mm-hmm, as well as Emma Dawson and a whole heap of other interesting people. There's about five speakers.
That's a slightly more loaded event than the previous one.
It's a bit more focused because it is on the job guarantee and how the union movement might support a job guarantee.
But if you've got Bill Mitchell there, it's always worth going.
He's always worth going for Bill.
The man has a mind.
So that's all our announcements, Kev.
Cool. Rightio.
So we could get into a little thing that has hooked my attention lately.
what's been going on?
Well, I just keep noticing what's going on over there in America under the Trump regime. Of course, aside from terrorizing their Latino population and their trans population and other minorities in America, what I did want to look at was how the Trump regime is embracing the crypto coin industry.
This is kind of interesting. You're talking about the president, the person who's in charge of the sovereign state.
Mm. Who is in charge of the state that issues the American dollars.
And he's now talking about...
He's in love with crypto.
Crypto is not a currency. Crypto
No.
Crypto is
is 100% speculation. It's not used by the government. You can't redeem your taxes in it. It's just an imaginary commodity that
it's a financial instrument that has dubious qualities.
It feeds off people's optimism.
It does.
And that's the only thing you get for it is just to
you have a moment of optimism.
Yeah,
you?
Which inevitably is followed by pessimism, and things go up and down. And it's
well, we are going to hear more about that aspect of it. One thing I wanted to mention before we listen to this clip that we have is that there is this piece of legislation that's recently been passed by their Senate. It's called, of course, the Genius Act, which stands for Guiding and Establishing National Innovation for US Stablecoins. And so it's passed the Senate with a lot of help from the Democrats as well as the Republicans. And it's now under consideration by the House of Reps over there. Now, what's this Genius Act doing? It is looking at a type of cryptocurrency called stablecoins. And stablecoins are called stablecoins because they're pegged to the dollar.
Ooh.
And at the moment, there are currently more than $200 billion worth of these things floating around. And because they're pegged to the dollar, people can use them a little bit like dollars, which means that people can use them to make payments, and they can make these payments and bypass the banks in order to make these anonymous payments.
Okay, radio.
And what the Genius Act is doing is pretty much formalizing what's already going on. So what it's saying is it's providing a legal framework for using stablecoins as a means of payment. Now, I'm not sure that you can pay taxes in them, but they're establishing how they'll be pegged to the dollar. And what's more, they're allowing banks and non-banks like Amazon and other tech companies to create these stable coins. So effectively, when you're pegging these things to the dollar, what you're saying is that the Central Bank of America will guarantee the value of these things. So if you ever want to sell your coins, the federal government has to ensure that you're going to get the dollars for these things.
You could exchange this crypto for US dollars, and the Federal Reserve will
back it up.
Back it up.
Even if they might be falling otherwise in value, the Federal Reserve will have to step in and buy them up to ensure their value. So what are the implications of all this? Well, in a moment, we are going to hear from one of my favourite commentators on such matters, and that would be Professor William Black. And he is a professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. He's a lawyer, a financial regulator, and, what is most helpful, I think, a white-collar criminologist.
Right.
And he happened to also write, "The best way to rob a bank is to own one." And Bill is speaking here with Eric Vaughan, who is the director of a 5-part documentary called The Con, which I highly, highly recommend people get a hold of. You can just Google it and you can watch it for free. And The Con is all about one of the biggest crime sprees in financial history. What do you suppose that was? It's otherwise known as the 2008 GFC.
GFC, I better say the GFC.
But in the meantime, let's hear an excerpt from episode 4, and it is titled, "What is Anarcho-Capitalism?" And it is from a YouTube series by Eric Vaughan from the 4th of June, 2025.
This is Eric Vaughan of Corruption Inc. All right, and we're here again with Bill Black, former federal regulator. He was also a white-collar criminologist and economist. And he is currently...
I am the person on financial regulation at the University of Minnesota School of Law. And so I'm also a lawyer. These folks are not necessarily rich, but they really want to be rich. So this is the lure of crypto. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to figure out a right way to do things. You don't have to work hard. If you just catch the wave precisely right in the timing, you're rich. And that's, that is a wondrous thing to them. Don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up. So there's an insider group, and the insider group is going to do sniping. And if they do, everybody else loses. That's a rug pull. right? The sniping part is the rug pull. And the terms in all of this are revealing. So in a rug pull, my group of sleazebags is issuing these coins. But we give ourselves 90% of the coins, our little group. Obviously, this is nonsensical, right? If we're doing this, nobody should give us money. But they do, and they keep doing it after thousands of people say, don't do this. And the average one of these coins, meme coins, goes to essentially zero in 86 minutes. But these rug pulls occur not in 86 minutes. The rug pull pretty much occurs in a minute and a half. You got to pump it up, 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 up. So you're not trying to get more and more money in after the initial suckers come in. Don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up. So pump and dump, at least classically, and in many meme coins, is the pump part. Is you put out fake news traditionally. This is a very old scam, thousands of years old scam, but penny stocks are famous for pump and dump. Right. So these are shares that are really dubious. Anyway, the pump part, and that's the metaphor, pump, 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 is pumping out information. And it's information about how well the stock is going to do and why, because we're actually doing something with the money. And so you feed news that you've developed a wonderful new product, that you've been meeting with suppliers, that you've been meeting with big purchase agents, that allegedly you have a contract, you know, to sell 300,000 units, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You bring in more and more and more money over sometimes years, but more typically 3 months-ish type of thing. That would be a more classic pump and dump. Don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up. So a pump and dump, you could get in and then you could sell anytime in that 3 month period. And, you know, if you hit it about right when it was hit its peak before it collapsed, you'd actually make some money. But when it's an insider rug pull, there's no way you can execute the trade fast enough. How does something go from $2 billion in market valuation to nothing in 90 seconds? If you bid the price up in those very first infusions of outside money, then you just multiply it times the number of coins. Now, 90% of the coins haven't been issued to the public. They're held by the insiders. So you can have a spectacular amount times whatever this alleged price went to in literally the first 30 seconds. That's how you get these absurd valuations that have nothing to do with reality. Don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up. Don't you know, pump it up. But the word that repeated investors, and investor is a dubious word here, in meme coins used to describe themselves is degen, and that's short for degenerate. So this is a group that know that meme coins are pervasively fraudulent. Not sometimes, not often, but overwhelmingly, they're fraud schemes. And the only question usually is it a pump and dump over a series of a month, or is it a rug pull over a series of about 90 seconds? Why do we have fraud after fraud after fraud? Why do we have people that call themselves degenerates and such? This is a staggeringly criminogenic environment. And that just means an environment where the incentives are so perverse that fraud or predation become epidemic. So first, if I want to make something criminogenic, I want to make sure that there's no rule of law. That makes a fabulously criminogenic environment, in particular in the elite white-collar sphere by powerful elites and such. The rule of law doesn't mean anything if you don't have cops on the beat. And in the regulatory world, those folks are regulators. The FBI agents have been gutted now under Trump. The Foreign Corrupt Practices Act has been eliminated as effective matter because Trump has said we will not enforce anti-corruption statutes while saying that Musk is rooting out corruption. The defining element of most of the bros from Silicon Valley that really put big money were that they wanted the removal of any rule of law restricting crypto. And therefore, we had to kill SEC regulation because otherwise it'd be a federal crime doing that pumping. But that's only the first element. We haven't got to the big element. Don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up. Don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up. Because the crypto has no real value, the problem always is how do we pump it up? We got no real story to tell. So, elite white-collar criminals, it ain't genius, it's audacity. What if we had the federal government create a sovereign wealth fund and buy hundreds of billions of dollars of crypto?
We're going to have a sovereign wealth fund, which we've never had. You got to pump it up. We have a lot of things that create wealth, and you're seeing that over the last 2 weeks. I think we've created more wealth. Other people have created de-wealth, the people, my predecessors. We're creating a lot of wealth.
Now, remember, that will change the valuation of all the other crypto. But this won't be a little rug pull where 100 million came in. This might be $4 trillion for all we know. Who knows? Because the government can buy as much as it wants. They know that. They pretend not to believe in modern monetary theory, but they really believe a whole lot in modern monetary theory. So they know they can goose this, and they know whatever number they put in to the sovereign wealth fund because of this multiplier effect, valuation of all these other coins will increase by tens of trillions of dollars. And they all be rich as Croesus. And they know in the modern world that means they will have dominant political power unless and until the American people basically say no, hell no to the billionaires. But wait, it gets better. Trump wants to slash taxes on the wealthy. And he doesn't politically want to increase taxes on the non-wealthy all that much. So he's going to have a massive budget deficit. Now, my top colleagues were key developers of modern monetary theory. This is, in terms of macroeconomics, less scary than you might think. But that's missing the key point of what Trump would do. He's going to claim he's balanced the budget because he's going to massively overvalue the sovereign wealth fund. He's going to be claiming he's running the biggest surplus in the history of the world. Because when you buy the crypto, what will happen to the supposed market value of the crypto? It will go up like any Ponzi in existence. And then you value it at that new number and say, we're running a budget surplus, and I all made it possible. I, Donald Trump, we've made the entire world wealthy. Suddenly created $20 trillion, $50 trillion in wealth. But nothing has actually happened economically. Again, this is audacity. You're going to put crypto in a sovereign wealth fund. These are stories for children. Also, if the U.S. does it and reports that it's produced trillions of dollars of wealth, what's going to happen? Other countries. And then we're going to have hundreds of trillions. The GDP of the world tripled. But nothing will have happened except bad things.
What would happen if all of a sudden, you know, another regime comes into place, you know, another president is elected, and they decide to liquidate that fund of all the Bitcoin?
Yes. Right away, it will go to very close to zero, and the billionaires will go close to zero on their crypto, which is why it's going to be extraordinarily difficult to get any president to do this.
You're with Anne and Kev on Radio MMT.
At 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne, Australia.
And wherever you get your podcasts.
Economics for the rest of us.
Now, Anne, you know my brain's a bit fragile at the moment because I've got this spreadsheet which is keeping me up at night. And
yes.
What?
What was going on?
What was that?
What was that all about? Well, I have been wondering, actually, for a while, what is going on with Donald Trump and the crypto over there.
Right.
So we've got about three things going on. So first of all, we've got a type of crypto that's known as meme coins. And these get issued all over the place. And there's a great example in Argentina I'll talk about in a minute. But these meme coins, they get associated with these old style scams that are so old and so well known, they've got their own names, pump and dumps.
Right.
And now, because of the technology being so fast, they're doing rug pulls, which last literally 90 seconds. In 90 seconds, you can win or lose millions and millions of dollars betting on these meme coins. That's the first thing that's going on. The second thing that's going on is there's another kind of cryptocurrency called a stable coin. And as I said before, that is being backed up in legislation. It hasn't completely passed yet through the US Congress, but it's likely to. So those stable coins are probably what will go into the third thing that's happening, which is this sovereign wealth fund that Trump has already created. Now, what do we know about... Oh, Kevin, you look like you really are melting now.
Look, it shouldn't surprise me. You know, we've got Trump in charge. It sounds like this is an insider's kind of...
This is a scam within a scam within a scam.
And Trump is passing legislation to make it legal and recognised.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that shouldn't surprise us really, should it?
No, it shouldn't. Well, let's have a look, first of all, as MMT, is what we know about sovereign wealth funds. Like, what's your first impression of a sovereign wealth fund?
So the sovereign wealth fund that Howard and Costello ran in 2006 when they had so-called extinguished the national debt, which is to say that they'd redeemed all of the bonds in existence, and they then ran surpluses. Because they're running from the wrong side of the ledger, they don't recognise that the government creates currency. They think that the money comes from the private sector.
Hmm.
And so they think they need to save because they don't recognise that they're the currency issuer.
Exactly.
And so they're saving money in a useless fashion because they can create currency whenever they need to.
From an MMT perspective, there's only one way the government can spend, the federal government. And that one way is by creating money. So the federal government can never, ever go to a sovereign wealth fund and pull the money out of there and spend it.
No, it's a sovereign wealth fund is essentially overtaxing.
Essentially rubbish. So, for example, the Albanese government recently created a Housing Australia Future Fund, which is another one of these funds. And then I noticed they made this announcement that they'd put $50 billion into it.
I don't know the machinations.
I'm thinking that they've probably created the money and spent it by putting it into this fund.
Right.
And then they've said, oh, we need to invest this money, and from the proceeds of the investments, we'll be able to build some houses. And then they made an announcement shortly after that saying, oh, we think we'll actually use $10 billion of that to build housing. So these things are not ways for the government to save or invest or generate money.
Okay, so they create $50 billion to create the wealth fund. They then say that they're using the money that this wealth fund generates to build houses. Mm. When it's generated enough money, do they then return the wealth fund back into the, like, how does that work?
Well, Costello's, think about Costello's fund, right? And I don't know how much is in there. But then we had this COVID crisis. Did we take the money out of that future fund?
Well, to give you some perspective on this, when the Howard Costello government lost to the Rudd government in 2007, they said that they had a $20 billion surplus, i.e. sovereign fund. Then we had the GFC. And the Rudd and Swan at that time, who was the treasurer, spent way in excess of that to keep the economy afloat.
And they don't take it out of those funds. So I'm suspecting those funds just sit there. And so what these funds do, they have all these unintended consequences that have got nothing to do with helping the government enhance its capability to spend. They have no effect on the government's ability to spend. But, of course, everybody thinks they do. And so it's interesting here that Bill Black said, well, these things are not going to do anything good and they're quite likely to do a few bad things. So I thought we might run through some of those bad things.
Sure.
So here we are. We're putting crypto. I mean, you know, not only do we have a sovereign wealth fund, but we're putting crypto into
it. It's built on crypto. This is so Trump.
It's wonderful. I mean, you've got to laugh before you cry on this stuff. Bill sounded like he was getting a bit hysterical about it there at one point. So the first thing to notice about crypto is that it is beloved of scammers. And one thing that you can use these stable coins for will probably be for ransomware payments.
Right.
And for terrorist funding, because these are payments that you can make anonymously. That's the whole point of crypto.
Right. Yeah.
They can't be traced.
Anonymous payments that are backed by the
dollar.
US dollar.
Yep. And Yiannis Varoufakis was writing an op-ed for Project Syndicate back on the 5th of June 2025.
This is the Greek former
economist and former finance minister of Greece.
Greece, yep. during the GFC.
Yes, yep. He's sort of MMT adjacent. He kind of is agreeable to MMT. Anyway, he was talking about the Genius Act, and he noted that not only does it allow for these private stable coins, like Amazon can start creating them, right? Is that, now I thought this was really interesting, is that the Act prohibits the central bank from creating digital currencies. So it is going to prevent CBDCs.
Okay, I'm going to recap for you. CBDCs.
Now, we're going to be talking about those in a few weeks with Brett Scott. CBDCs are not cryptocurrency. That's the first thing to notice. So even though central bank digital currencies are in the digital world, and cryptocurrencies are in the digital world, they are two entirely different things. So CBDCs are effectively a digital version of notes and coins. And what they are probably going to look like is a little card, and they will have the amount of money that you have. And so they are a digital version of government money. Were you going to say anything more than
that? Well, no, the important thing here is that the, if you think about coins and notes, I give you $20. That's a private transaction between me and you. Mm. There's no record of that.
Correct.
If I EFT you $20, then it goes through my bank and there's a record of it.
Right.
So CBDCs are a peer-to-peer exchange where I've got an app on my phone, you've got an app on your phone, we Bluetooth each other, and an amount is exchanged without the involvement of any banks, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a government-backed exchange.
It's basically one way that we, as the average Joe, can interact with the government money. So at the moment, we interact with the government money directly with the government through notes and coins, or indirectly, as you say, through commercial institutions, which we call banks,
yep.
That's the other way we interact with government money. So these banks put themselves between us and the government money. And you're spot on there, Kevin, because the CBDCs are actually the first time that the government could be potentially in competition with all these banks and other institutions like MasterCard and Visa and Facebook and whoever else wants to run a payment system. The CBDCs, they don't exist yet, but if they did, they would potentially be in competition with all these entities, because all these entities, every time you go buy a coffee and you ding your card at the cafe on their register or whatever, there is some multinational fintech company taking a bite out of that transaction. And that's how they're making all their money these days. And they do not want to see CBDCs coming around. And so that's why I found this bit of legislation so interesting, because
you've lost me.
Because the Genius Act wants to stop the government from creating CBDCs, even though they haven't done it yet. They're just thinking about it.
So they want to pinch that space themselves.
Oh, yeah. They want to make sure that there ain't no public
competition.
Option.
Right.
That's right. So it's
this is such an amazing thing. The President of the United States is backing this Ponzi scheme.
He's doing a couple of things. He's getting a few things through.
Yeah, you know? and he's blocking any legitimate competition. Yep.
This is like blocking the ability for us to use a public utility, which is the government money. This is like them saying, no, you have to go through private organisations.
It's like if you're driving down the street and it forces you onto a tollway.
That's exactly the analogy. In fact, the analogy I was thinking of, it's like you're not just putting a gun to the head of public money. What you're doing is binding it and gagging it and throwing it in the boot of the car. So we'll talk more about CBDCs in an upcoming show, but that'll just give you a taste for what is going on here. Now, there's some more bad things that might come out of this.
Okay.
We have to think about, this is like this tech bro fantasy world of wealth. It's all it is basically are numbers in computers, like it's purely abstract. But unfortunately, it is going to have effects on what economists call the real economy.
Right.
So this was a concept I had to get my head around when I was first learning about this stuff, is that economists talk about the real economy and they talk about the nominal economy or the finance economy. So the real economy is you and me going to work, or you and me going into a shop and buying stuff, or it's people investing so that they can build a building or create a business. So it's all the real goods and services and all the production and consumption that goes on.
Tangible stuff.
Yep. Right. The real stuff. The stuff you and I interact with. Yep. So that's like the real economy.
Like when you buy a chicken sandwich.
My chicken sandwich next week. That's right. And then the nominal economy is the monetary system that sits over that, that facilitates that. So that there's two kind of systems and they're interacting with each other. And you want to be really careful about how they interact. And if you're not careful, you will get something like the 2008 GFC. And so what Bill is saying is that he was saying, well, what are going to be the effects on the real economy of this fantastical trillions of dollars that are going to go into this sovereign wealth fund? He said the first thing to think about is how much energy is going to go into creating these meme coins and stable coins.
You're talking about electricity like that?
Electricity. Right. So literally how much carbon emission is going to be produced by these things, because literally you will have warehouses the size of football fields full of CPUs buzzing away, churning away, their little fans spinning as they're creating these meme coins. The second thing that will happen in the real economy is you will divert some brain power. So some of these degenerates are not so smart, but other, you know, kids sitting there in their underwear in front of their computers, we really should be putting them to work in the CSIRO or NASA or developing new medicines or whatever it is. And all that brain power is going to be going into them
manipulating numbers.
Yeah. So it's
a brain drain.
So that's when he says it's unproductive creation of wealth. These people are not doing anything useful and these coins are not doing anything useful. The other thing he talked about was that inflation will likely move from the crypto sector into other parts of the economy. So once you've got people who've got trillions of dollars to spend,
coined up, they'll push prices up, especially if there's short supply.
If they're spending, they will push the prices up of whatever they spend. And you can just imagine they could take over like almost the entire real estate market, or they could take over the entire food production and then start jacking up. They could be turning things into monopolies quite easily.
That wouldn't be such a risk if we're in a plentiful world, but we're not in a plentiful world. We're in a world of scarcity.
Yeah, it depends how they spend their money, but they're highly likely to create knock-on inflation effects.
Yeah, I mean, just like with real estate. Real estate is becoming more and more the province of the wealthy. It's getting harder for ordinary people to access it. If you have a bunch of people who suddenly become incredibly wealthy because of manipulation of numbers and they want to start buying stuff, they'll push the price up and make it even harder for other people.
I mean, how does the trickle-down effect look so far? The other thing is that the banks will have to start investing in crypto just to keep up. And I don't know if I quite understand this, but apparently their real capital will become more fragile and eventually the banks will fail. It's kind of what happened in the GFC.
Yeah, this is because governments don't recognise that they are the currency issuers and they have this convoluted sense of economics in the first place. It feeds into the polarisation of wealth and wasted resources because the eye is on debt that doesn't exist. Government debt does not exist. The government doesn't owe itself money. It creates the money. So there is no such thing as government debt. Let me just say that again. There is no such thing as government debt. And yet we have governments all over the world who are firmly fixated on managing their debt, which doesn't exist. If a faulty system is given an injection, and I've said this a few times about Trump, is he's going to accelerate all of these all of these processes and bring it to a head. Things that might have taken us years and years, he's going to smash the car into the wall. That might be an opportunity for people to go, hang on, this is all rubbish.
Well, I think that's the best we can hope for. And I thought it was interesting that Bill Black said that he thinks that they know that the government can spend as much money as it wants to. But they're creating this sovereign wealth fund, pretending that that's what the government needs. And it's basically a way of doing this pump and dump scam. So I guess, the best that we can hope for is that this pump and dump scheme will have the life expectancy of a presidential term.
Boy, oh boy. But except there's consequences after that, you know, like you can't always get rid of everything just that quickly.
I know. And he's saying it's quite likely that the billionaires won't let the next president get rid of them. There is an interesting example of a pump and dump that already happened courtesy of the president of Argentina.
Right.
So Javier Milei, who is himself a past professor of macroeconomics. You can just imagine which sort of macro he was into. Back in February 2025.
That's not that long ago.
No, this year, the beginning of this year. He was promoting a meme coin called Libra in social media, and he was doing that 3 minutes after it launched. And then in the next few minutes or whatever, it rose to $4.6 billion before crashing a few hours later. Now, what's interesting here is that the founders of this Libra meme coin held 70% of the initial tokens. And then once the price reached a certain level, they all sold off their holdings and crashed the price by 85%. And the upshot of all that was that these 9 founders earned about $87 million. Meanwhile, the 50,000 investors, all these degenerates, lost about $250
million. Oh.
Wow. So that was a classic pump and dump.
I'm kind of interested in, if this does happen, then Bitcoin might go out of fashion. All the other cryptocurrencies, people might shift. Because they're all just speculation, they'll just collapse. And so you'll see all these collapses and people doing the dough all over the place, which... You know, I don't want to feel mean, but you sort of go, well, what did you think?
Well, you heard Bill say, don't do it. Would you take crypto as a donation for Radiothon?
Jeez, I'd want to convert it to a solid currency as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. So, as ever, Kevin, if you say crypto, I say tulips. And of course, as Bill said, you can make money out of these schemes, but you do have to get in at the right time, and it's most likely.
It's just rampant capitalism, opportunist capitalism.
It's gambling.
There's nothing honest about this.
Not
good.
And I find it really ironic that these ultra-right economic types, these so-called anarcho-capitalists or the libertarians, there they are. They're always accusing the government of printing money and creating inflation. But this is exactly what they're going to end up doing.
Because, like, government spend into existence. These guys are literally just manipulating numbers to make more numbers.
Bizarre. I think we need a song. You look like you need a song.
I've got tickets to see King Gizzard in December at the Bowl. They've been overseas and they're coming back, and I love King Gizzard. Here's a song from them called Presumptuous.
So presumptuous, with tongue in cheek. So presumptuous, belittle me. So presumptuous, falling at your feet. So presumptuous, don't agree with your negativity. Eggshell in my stepping stones, kindred spirits at a crossroads. The world we build is on a tilt, bottled up inside and filled with guilt. Maybe you got a God complex, missing in action, didn't even notice. Sounds like negligence, featherless, shaking in defense. So presumptuous, with tongue in cheek. So presumptuous, belittle me.
That was King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with their song Presumptuous. I'm going to go and see them at the Maya Music Bowl in December. Now, I've got a question that was sent to us from Peter, and this refers to the Costello surpluses.
The one that's blowing your mind
The one that's blowing my mind. We'll talk about this more on the 5th of July at Torrens. But the question was, Trezor Costello recorded two surpluses without 100% tax. What is it that we don't yet understand? So there was a $96 billion deficit when Howard and Costello came into office. Prior to that, Keating had started selling Qantas and the Commonwealth Bank. He'd partially sold off those companies. What Costello did was completed the sale of Qantas, completed the sale of the Commonwealth Bank, but the big one was he flogged off Telstra.
Oh, yes.
They raised $72 billion, well, they call it $72 billion in revenue, which they did not need.
Air quotes.
The objective there was to privatise, which was started by the Keating government, which is, you know, so there we go. So where'd the money, extra money come from? The sale of assets. That's why they didn't have to use tax to achieve that result. Peter, hopefully that answers the question for you. Yes.
I'm very aware that another Kevin and Glenn have sent us in questions. Might have to do those another time.
Yeah, but we'll flog it again. Saturday, July the 5th, Torrens University it's called Public Money, Public Good. You can get tickets on Humantics.
And if you're a bit annoyed with us that we never tell you about the pub until an hour before, go to Facebook, I'm sorry to send you there, to Radio MMT on Facebook, and we always post pub nights on there if you're wanting to know about them in advance, but they're usually the 4th Friday of the month.
No problems. We'll see you soon. Mafalda's coming up next. I will hit a button to play the outro, but hang on to you. See you next time.
See you, Kevin.
You've been listening to Radio MMT with Anne and Kev.
We'd love your feedback. Email us on radiommt@gmail.com. or search Radio MMT on social media.
Listen to this show anytime, wherever you get your podcasts, or on 3cr.org.au/Radio MMT.
Support this show and the station by subscribing to 3cr.org.au and mention Radio MMT.
We thank all our guests.
And we thank economist Professor Bill Mitchell and his MMTED.org. Educating masses on modern monetary theory.
And thank you to our listening listeners for listening. And I thank you, Kevin.
And I thank you, Anne. So what's planned for next week?
Kevin, there is still so much to talk about. We've got to expose all this rotten economics.
Well, that's good, and I get it. Do you reckon we could use a bit more music?
Well, I made a list of all these terrible economic theories. Like, have you heard of the theory of comparative advantage, or the quantity theory of money, or the loanable funds theory?
Have you heard of a band called Single Gun Theory? Like, they're a really good band. I'm sure there's a whole range of, like, macroeconomic music that I could bring into the show.
Yeah, but we really need to do marginal productivity theory, not to mention the natural rate of unemployment and the money multiplier.
You've got a pretty good singing voice. I play bass. Bill, he plays guitar. I reckon we could form a macroeconomics band. Like, we could deliver this whole message by music.
Well, we could call the band the Permanent Income Hypothesis, or the Ricardian Equivalence, or Rational Expectations.
I think we're onto something here. We're trying to make macroeconomics more interesting to the masses. We're going to, like, form this band and sing it to them. And we're going to bring the economists in. We're going to get musical.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.